Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. In this week's episode, we spoke with Lisa Schlager from FORCE to kick off Cure's new video series called Speaking Out. As part of a sneak peek into our new series, we spoke with Lisa about laws that are put into place to protect patients with a genetic risk for cancer.
So now we'll be discussing legislative issues around genetic testing. So to start, what are some examples of ways that genetic testing can be discriminated against if you do test positive?
So I wouldn't say genetic testing can be discriminated against, but an individual could be discriminated against. And so we do have some laws and protections to ensure that individuals are not denied healthcare, for instance, or their information about their genetic predisposition to disease can't be used against them to deny them employment. Mm-hmm. Some of those laws include the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act, or GINA, which does cover both health insurance and employment. And for that reason, it basically says that an employer cannot use that information in hiring or firing or promotions or salary decisions. In healthcare, it says that your genetic predisposition may not be used to deny you health insurance or to increase your premiums. Now, I will say that that is for people who don't have what we call manifest disease, meaning they haven't had a cancer diagnosis, they just know that they're at increased risk. What's nice is then we also have the Affordable Care Act. And so that basically eliminated any opportunity for health insurers to deny coverage based on a health condition. So between GINA and the Affordable Care Act, we have a great partnership and good protection for people who undergo genetic testing. Unfortunately, there is an area that people are not protected. And that would be life insurance, disability insurance, and long-term care insurance. Those types of insurance are not covered under the GINA law. And so, unfortunately, if somebody does test positive for a mutation, a life insurance company could say to them, oh, I'm sorry, you carry Lynch syndrome, and we think you're high risk, so we're either not going to cover you or we're going to charge you a higher premium. Certain states have gone further to institute more protections. And so it's very important for people to know or to research what their state laws are to understand their rights.
Okay. And so I know you had mentioned the Affordable Care Act. Is having a genetic mutation considered a pre-existing condition? And what does that mean?
Actually, it is not. Okay. A genetic mutation cannot be considered a pre-existing condition. On the other hand, if you have heart disease, for instance, that could be a pre-existing condition because it's actually a manifest illness or disease, mm-hmm. whereas a mutation is not. It's just a predisposition to something. Right. So it cannot be considered a pre-existing condition under health insurance.
Okay. And if somebody does think that they're being discriminated against, are there certain resources that they can turn to?
Absolutely. So it depends on who the discrimination is coming from. Mm-hmm. If it's an employer, the first step is to go to their HR department. Then they can also go to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. We have information about this on our website and step-by-step instructions on what to do if you feel you're being discriminated against. Mm-hmm. When it comes to health insurance, the pathway is a little different. Basically, there are agencies and checks and balances. So if an individual feels that the information is being used improperly, they do have recourse.
Okay. So I know you had mentioned that life insurance, maybe you're not protected. Can they increase premiums afterwards? So if you get life insurance first and then get tested and test positive?
Good question. It really depends on the policy. So with life insurance, a lot of times they have the option to access your medical records. And when they issue you your policy, it's based on the information that they have. Mm-hmm. Many people ask, if I test positive afterwards, do I need to reveal that information? And truthfully, that's not something I can specifically answer. It depends on the policy you have and what the parameters around that policy are. But we can say that most people with mutations do in fact get life insurance, and it's not as big an issue as some people have feared, I suppose. Where we do see more issues is if somebody's already had cancer, for instance. A lot of insurers want to wait 5 years until they'll insure you, or other types of significant diseases.
Okay, so kind of switching fields a little bit. Are genetic tests covered by insurance?
They are, most of the time.
Okay.
So there are some caveats. First and foremost, for genetic testing, under the Affordable Care Act, any service, preventive service, that gets an A or B rating from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, which establishes guidelines for preventive care here in the U.S., if it gets an A or B rating, it's got to be covered at no cost under the Affordable Care Act. So that includes mammograms starting at the age of 40, or colonoscopies starting at age 50, and also BRCA genetic testing if you meet the personal and family history criteria. So that criteria is outlined, and if you meet a certain risk threshold as assessed by your doctor or genetic counselor, then they can justify coverage of a BRCA test for all of the known BRCA mutations. I think where we, at no cost to the patient, I might add, which is wonderful. I think where we run into confusion and some complications sometimes is that we are now able to test for far more than just BRCA mutations. And so many labs are offering what's called multi-gene panel tests that look at dozens of potential mutations, which is very informative and is actually more the standard of care these days. Unfortunately, insurers are not required to cover this at 100%. Okay. So frequently what we see is patients end up paying either a copay or, you know, out of their deductible to cover the cost of this. However, most labs also have programs to ensure that patients don't have to pay too much out of pocket. Many labs will guarantee that you'll never have to pay more than $250. And if for some reason that amount is too difficult, there are assistance programs that can provide testing at no cost.
Great. So how do you think that will affect how many people continue to get tested, or even more now?
You know, we are seeing more and more people getting tested, and especially more people finding that they have mutations other than the BRCA1 and BRCA2 mutations. One of the things we've discovered through research is about 50% of the mutations responsible for breast and ovarian cancers actually are mutations other than BRCA1 and BRCA2. Also, Lynch syndrome is actually more common, and there are 5 mutations there. So we're seeing more people expressing interest in testing. We are seeing more people testing. One of the drawbacks is people are a little nervous about the Affordable Care Act and its stability. Mm-hmm. And so in some cases, people are a little hesitant because they're fearful that somehow down the road it could come back and be problematic. Mm-hmm. But as I shared, having a mutation cannot be used against you regardless of the Affordable Care Act. So people should not hesitate to get tested if, in fact, they think that it's something that makes sense for them and their healthcare provider agrees.
Absolutely. So to close it out, from a legislation standpoint and or a, you know, an insurance standpoint, where do you think we're headed?
I think we're headed toward an amazing era of what we're calling precision medicine, where we have the ability to look at a person's genes to determine what they're at risk at, and then we're able to tailor their care. So for instance, a woman who has a PALB2 mutation, for instance, might know that she has increased risk of breast cancer, so she can start screening earlier and either find that cancer earlier, or even in some cases prevent the cancer from occurring. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, if somebody is diagnosed with cancer, we now have what's called targeted therapies, where just knowing that you have a certain mutation, they can figure out what medications and what chemotherapies might be more effective for you. Mm-hmm. That's a win for everybody. We're all at risk of something. We all have genetic mutations in our bodies, but to be able to use that information proactively to either prevent or treat disease is an amazing thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Be sure to check out our new Speaking Out video series launching in 2020. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.